Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
It's Legends Week here on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan, powered by Siltahar Motors. And we bookend the week here on a feel-good Friday with a guy that I really like being around. And thanks to you, Stokely, for introducing me. Two, I said he was a triple dipper because he played high school football in Colorado, he played college football in Colorado, and he played for the Denver Broncos. Very few guys check all three of those boxes. It's the one and the only Joel Dreesen. How you doing, bro?
I'm doing great. I'm flattered to be considered a legend by the Stokely and Zach show. Here you guys are dominating midday sports talk radio, right? You're flying high. Your trajectory is nothing but upward, and you all consider me a legend. I am truly flattered.
Oh, that's because you are. That's because you are. Just what Zach said. And don't mean to cut you off there, Zach.
Go.
You know, I was fortunate to be teammates with Joel in 2012, and I mean, we had a blast. And It was so much fun to get to meet you, obviously, and be your teammate. But now we've continued our friendship, and you know, you're just such a great guy. But being teammates with you, you know, I know why you were able to play as long as you did in the NFL. But tell our listeners, you know, what made you who you were, and what made you, and how did you get to the NFL and last as long as you did?
Wow, great question, Will. I mean, I grew up in a small town, Fort Morgan, eastern Colorado, right? And it was just instilled in me from a very young age. My brother was 6 years older than me, and he kind of paved the way as far as what it took to be a good athlete and a good student athlete. And he went on to play college football at Wyoming, so he was always taking care of me throughout high school, right? Sending me home gloves and weight gainer shakes and things like that. And, you know, from a young age, I was just determined to be the hardest worker on the team. And to put it in a nutshell, I truly loved football. I mean, I loved football. I loved everything about it. I loved competing. I loved the physicality of it. I loved the training for it. So it really just was blossomed into a college scholarship at CSU, and then was able to get drafted by the NFL. And for the most part, I carried those same virtues that I had as a young person to be the hardest working guy possible, to truly maximize the talents that my body allowed me to have and make the most of them. And, you know, unfortunately, injury kind of decides for all of us, and that's what derailed my NFL career. But for the most part, I just tried to work as hard as I possibly could and have the best attitude I possibly could. It allowed me to stick around for 8 or 9 years.
Joel Dreesen joining us here on Stokely and Zach. You are from Iowa originally. Do I have that right?
Yes, sir. Yep. We moved to Colorado when I was three.
So you moved to Colorado when you're three. You grow up in Fort Morgan, which is about, I don't know, like 90, 100 miles east, I think, of Denver. But how do you go from a small town like Fort Morgan, where the population, I looked it up, it's like 10, 11,000 people. How do you end up at Colorado State?
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, Colorado State and Wyoming were my only Division I scholarship offers. CU was in the recruiting game pretty hard for a while, but about halfway through my senior year, I kind of asked them. I said, hey, what's up with you guys? Are you going to offer me or not? Because if not, I'm going to go to CSU. And they said, no, we like this other kid out of Kansas. So,
what was that kid's name? Do you remember?
I do. His name was Quinn Sipniewski, actually. He actually had a very good career at CU. And then
really?
Playing in the NFL for 3 or 4 years too. So I couldn't have hurt feelings about that. And to be honest with you, Colorado State and Sonny Lubick were the perfect fit for me anyways. Sonny's humility, his attitude, his work ethic, his character, was something that I've tr- truly, truly valued being around, and I wouldn't have it any other way. So for the most part, just the lack of options is why I ended up at CSU, but it was absolutely the best place for me.
And Joel Dreesen is joining us here during Legends Week. We certainly appreciate the time, Joel. Talk about the 2012 season. Well, you know, what do you remember most about that season? Obviously, Peyton Manning, you know, coming back, leaving the Colts, coming here to Denver, first year here. What do you remember the most about that year?
Yeah, I remember winning a bunch of damn football games, I can tell you that much. Oh, it was so much fun. It was a lot of work, too. And to me, I had a little extra stress on my shoulder, too, just because, you know, I was a free agent. And I really didn't want to leave Houston. We had a really good thing going in Houston. I was really comfortable in that offense with Coach Kubiak, and me and Owen Daniels were pretty much kind of shared that starter role. And so for me to come here, was a little bit out of my comfort zone. And so I really wanted to prove myself. I really wanted to, when you get paid to go to another team, you never want to be considered a guy who's stealing, right? A guy who's a thief who got paid and then shut her down. So it was really important to me to stay healthy and have one of my best seasons. And I did, actually, statistically. I had more catches than I ever had. But 2012 was a lot of work. You know, here I was learning a brand new offense and learning how to operate with one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game and brand new teammates. And to add to the pressure, I was in my home state and there was a lot of attention, a lot of eyes on me. So I wanted to perform, but man, that year was just so much fun. Rattling off, I don't know how many victories in a row we rattled off. But the group of guys on that team, it was just so easy. Everyone wanted to be good. Everyone was a leader. There was really no weaknesses on that squad. Everyone hates talking about the ending with the Ravens loss. But just a great group of guys. Oh my God, how much fun was that? There was one year of football I could just do over. It would be 2012.
That was fun.
And what was it like, Joel? And Joel Dreesen joining us here on Legends Week, played his high school football here, played his college football here, ends up coming back to the Denver Broncos later in his career with Peyton. But you did play with Peyton. What was it like going from Houston to now playing under 18?
Oh, man. So I tell everybody the same story when they ask me this. Is I truly didn't know what it was like to have an elite quarterback, right? You play with guys. I played with Matt Schaub, and I played with a handful of good, solid NFL quarterbacks, right? And when you're playing with them, you think, dang, this is as good as it gets. These guys are really good. And then all of a sudden, you're on the same team as Peyton Manning, right? And this guy has seen it all. There's no defense that he hasn't seen. There's no disguise that he hasn't recognized and switched the play to. And to be able to team up with that and see how he operated, how he was able to recognize the defense, get the right play communicated to the offensive line, to the wideouts, to everybody, all while going through a dummy cadence, the dude was a machine. I just don't understand how he was able to keep it all organized in his head because, I mean, I was just, you know, a pawn on that team, and I was just along for the ride, and my head was certainly swimming at times. We had code words for code words and signals for signals on top of signals, and it was remarkable. So I always tell everybody that Peyton was truly what he was cracked up to be as far as a performer at the most difficult position in all of pro sports, right? And then to combat that as a human, you know, he's really the definition of humility. He's always deflecting the attention and absorbing a lot of criticism. Really enjoyed being his teammate.
Yeah, that's well said. Joel Dreesen is joining us here, our last legend of the week, and I think it's fitting that it's you, buddy. Looking at your time at CSU, what do you remember the most about your time there?
Yeah, just my growth as an athlete. You know, truly grateful for Sonny Lubick and his influences on me as a human being, just teaching me how to be kind to everybody, to look people in the eyes. Yes, ma'am. No, sir. Those sort of things. But more importantly than that, he valued toughness on the football field. He really taught me how to deal with injuries. You know, are you hurt? Are you injured? That whole cliche, which one is it? Just valuing my time with Sonny Lubick, man, I'd trade every dollar I earned in the NFL to go start college ball back over because there's nothing like it. It's just so much fun playing with your boys, living with your boys off campus. The only thing that matters is your next meal. You don't know where it's going to come from, but you're going to eat as much as you can, as much as you want. And then you go out there and compete on Saturdays and leave it all on the line and do it all again. And it was just a truly remarkable time in my life. I love Fort Collins and Colorado State.
Joel Dreesen joining us here on Legends Week, powered by Siltahar Motors, live here on Stokeland. Zach with us. Joel, was there, going back to your time at CSU, was there a specific point during your college career when the reality of the NFL dream started to come into focus?
Yeah, I was a fifth-year guy, so I redshirted my first year, and about, you know, halfway through, about 2.5 years in, we're entering into spring football practice, right? And we always go through this protocol of testing, how much can you squat and bench, and they clock you on a 40. So I weighed in at like 255 pounds, and I go and run like a 4.6 and 4.6 something in the 40. I was like, dang, I didn't expect that. How did I get so fast all of a sudden? And so that spring, I started comparing my numbers to some of the guys who were coming out for the NFL draft. I'm like, holy cow, my measurables, like, they measure up. I'm 6'4", I'm tall, I'm fast, I can run pretty good. This is a legit deal for me. And Sonny calls me into his office before my junior year, and he kind of tells me, he's like, hey, I know where you want to go with this, right? I know you want to go to the NFL. You have every opportunity to do so. It's my job to keep you healthy and put you in position to make plays and maximize your ability. And he's like, I want to help you do that. I want to help you make it to the NFL. And from that point on, like, that was a focus of mine. That was a goal of mine. But obviously, I wanted to be the best player I possibly could for CSU first. So it probably about halfway through college, you know, two and a half years in, I was like, dang, I can be an NFL tight end. Well, it worked out.
That's awesome there, just like KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver. It just shows you, like, you know, it's kind of almost like my story, Joel. And it's just like, I wasn't thinking about it. All of a sudden, you start looking at your numbers, comparing it, and I'm like, I don't know if I can do it. Where do I stack up with these guys? And it's just like, hey, you know, why not? Why not me? And then, Joel, there you go. You're with the Jets. Talk about early in your career when you went to the Jets, and then you know, you spent a year there, and then you really make your hay there with the Houston Texans. Talk about that time.
Oh man,
I know you got fond memories of the New York Jets, don't you?
You know what? I really enjoyed playing for Herm Edwards, right? My rookie year, Herm was great. But I did not know what the hell I was doing, right? I had no idea. Like, the playbook was like memorizing a dictionary. I had no idea how much the mental side of the game meant. I didn't know how to study. I didn't know how to watch film. So really, to be honest with you, I look back at my rookie year and I have no idea how I made that squad because I was really, really crappy. But they kept me on and I played, you know, a handful of games as a rookie. And then I had knee surgery that offseason. Going into my second year, Herm Edwards moves on. Eric Mangini comes in, right? And this man is the worst ball coach I've ever witnessed. Like, he thinks he's Bill Belichick 2.0, and this man is an absolute dweeb how he runs things. And it's just a bully mentality, and it was just such a bad fit. And I don't want to blame anyone else. I was not a good football player. I did not deserve to make that roster. But he did not help matters, let me put it that way. So I ended up getting cut after training camp my second year, and I was out the whole season, all of 2006. Nobody wanted me.
Wow.
You know, I'd go to workouts every Tuesday
right.
with teams, and they'd tell me the same thing. Hey, you're on our short list. We'll call you if we have an injury, that sort of thing. And never got called, and finally had an opportunity with the Texans in 2007. And I changed my lifestyle totally. Changed my diet, broke up with my girlfriend. I was all focused on ball and ended up making that team, and then I didn't miss a game for the next 5 years. So I'm really, really pretty proud of that, actually.
That's awesome.
So it would be fair to say that you had, you know, dark moments of doubt after your experience with the New York Jets, that, you know, that you were not an NFL caliber player. Is that fair?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I was humiliated. It was an incredible shot to my confidence that, I mean, I thought I was going to have an NFL career. I really did. And all of a sudden now after one season, I'm out on the street and nobody wants me. And I'm watching games on Sunday and I'm watching tight ends play and I'm watching, you know, the second and third guys play special teams. And I'm just gut-wrenched inside because I feel like I can do it better. I know I can do it better. And, you know, everyone tells you the same thing that you want to hear. It's all about timing and opportunity, blah, 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 blah. Well, like I said, when I got that next opportunity, I was determined to make the most of it.
Well, I just want to comment on something that you said a couple minutes ago about Eric Mangini. You are not the only one that has criticized Eric Mangini in that way, because a guy that is helping us now here at the Fan, Nate Jackson, in his book was very, very critical of the then Browns head coach, I believe, at the time, Eric Mangini. And he was contrasting Mangini's style to that of Mike Shanahan, and really, you know, in different words, but said a lot of the same things that you said and believe about that. So I just wanted to, you know, back you up a little bit on that, on someone that we know personally here at the Fan. So
I appreciate that. I read Nate's book. I loved his book, and I paid extra close attention to the, you know, the brief chapter when he was with the Browns. And yeah, everything he wrote about, and by then Mangini had actually kind of tamed it down from what I heard. Obviously, he spent two or three seasons with the Jets, and, you know, guys were fed up with how he was treating them. And by my understanding, he had tamed it down by the time he was with the Browns. But talk about how to do it wrong. Talk about that, man.
Hey, and we're visiting with Joel Dreesen here on Legend Week. Joel, last one here for me. Talk about your time with the Texans. Obviously, that's kind of where you made your hay there, with Gary Kubiak. What was Gary Kubiak like as a head coach, and what did he mean for you in your career?
He was just the man. You know what they say about college head coaches or NFL head coaches? They're either, you know, jerks or they become jerks. But to me, Sonny Lubick, Gary Kubiak, they were able to be head coaches in that realm without being jerks, without belittling people or stepping on people. He was as honest of a man as you could possibly ask for from a head coach. You know, you walk into his office and be like, hey, coach, why am I not playing? Why am I not going to make the team? And he'll flat out tell you. He'll pull up the tape and show you why. He'll walk you through your technique and tell you what you need to fix. And to me, I just really appreciated his honesty. So for me, coming from the Jets, where football was, you know, the opposite of fun,
right,
and I get down to Houston, and all of a sudden, you know, we're practicing in just helmets, and we're going fast still, and I'm learning so much more. Kyle Shanahan was our offensive coordinator, right, and I'm so grateful for Kyle teaching me ball. And Kubiak was, he took it easy on us. He didn't beat us up throughout the week. We were so fresh and fast on game days. Super grateful for Kubiak and the opportunities that he gave me. Now, sometimes I look back at my early times in Houston, too, and I'm like, dang, I am not very good yet. So I'm grateful for them sticking with me. And, you know, I lost to Peyton every single time but one. So I played in Houston 5 years, right? And I beat a Peyton Manning team one time, 1 out of 10. Can you believe that?
Wow. Well, hey, sorry, Zach, one more for me here. You mentioned his name, Kyle Shanahan. At that time, he was the offensive coordinator there. Is that correct, Joel, with you? What was his role there, and what do you remember about Kyle?
07, 08, he was like wide receivers and quarterbacks coach, and then 09, he was full-on offensive coordinator. And by the time, you know, we were halfway through that season, he was totally calling plays. He was calling the games. He was doing everything. And typically, Kubiak, you know, preferred to call the plays. He liked that responsibility. But Kyle, he trusted Kyle enough, and Kyle knew what the heck he was doing enough to take over those duties. But to me, Kyle was such a good teacher, right? He would not only, I mean, you've been in that offense before where the offensive coordinator installs the plays and he goes through slide by slide. Okay, here's why stick Lion. Stokely on the backside, you're going to have a 3-yard slam. But Kyle would actually pull up tape and examples of the guys in the league who did that the best, right? And you'd watch them down to the very finest detail. So absolute grateful for Kyle Shanahan teaching me how to be a technician, even in the blocking game too, how to get my feet proper, you know, how to get my second step on the ground quicker, win hand placement, roll my hips. I know I'm kind of talking a foreign language here at times, but I'm just grateful for him teaching me so much technique.
Joel Dreesen, a triple dipper, played his high school ball in Colorado, played his college ball in Colorado, ends up coming back to the Denver Broncos during some of those Peyton Manning years. When you think back to your time specifically here in Denver, what's the number one highlight that sticks out for you?
Obviously making it to Super Bowl 48, that season, it really sucked for me because I had, you know, multiple left knee surgeries and kind of limped my way through the season. And Julius Thomas stole my job and went and caught like 13, 14 touchdowns in that season. And so I was like, huh, okay, well, him and Peyton had a good thing going, so I couldn't be mad. But just being on a team that made it to the Super Bowl, to win that AFC Championship game in 2013 and go to the Super Bowl, I mean, everything was awesome except for the game. Obviously, we got thrashed in the game by, 30-some points. So being on a Super Bowl team was a really valuable experience. But I think Stokely said it best. 2012 was just so much fun. And that was – we truly did have the best team in the league that year. And it sucks it ended the way that it did. But we would have beat the Patriots at home the next week, and we sure as hell would have beat the 49ers in the Super Bowl. So that one haunts you. The things that you don't get done, the things that you don't get done in the game when your career's over, they eat at you. They have a way of eating at you, and that's certainly one of them that does eat at me.
That was a special year. It was, and it does it does haunt you because we had such a good team, great team, and so many just great guys. And it was just like, for me, I was an older guy, and I thought my career was over. So I'm like, borrowed life here. Another chance to play in the NFL in a town that I call home now. It was unbelievable. And we didn't finish it off the way we should have, but it was still a special year. Joe, what went wrong in that Super Bowl against the Seahawks? Is there anything that you can look at and say, gosh, we should have done that better. We shouldn't have practiced like this. Or what went wrong that game?
Yeah, so, I mean, hindsight's always 20/20, right?
Sure.
But Coach Fox was determined to use every single padded practice allowable that year, right? So I think you're allowed 14 padded practices during the regular season, and then you're allowed to have a padded practice once a week during the playoffs. So leading up to the Super Bowl, we practiced 7 times, right? And twice, 2 of those practices were in full pads, full bore physical stuff. And I'm like, what are we doing? We're in the world championship game, and he has us out here beating on each other like it's, September.
Right.
So I do question that a little bit, mostly because Seattle was so fast, right? Their defense was phenomenal. They were ready to play, and they were physical, and it just felt like they were moving a hell of a lot faster than we were. So I questioned our practice a little bit. I think we were worn down by the time we got to the game, but you got to hand it to Seattle. They were just the better squad. I mean, their defense, Cam Chancellor he was going to kill someone that game. He had some throws and misses where if he had connected with Eric Decker or some of those guys, I we all saw the hit on DT. DT's a big man, right?
Yeah.
He's 6'3", 225 pounds, and he just tosses him around like a rag doll. So those guys, their defense was special. They deserved it.
It's Joel Dreesen wrapping up Legends Week, powered by Siltahar Motors here, bookending it on a Friday. Triple dipper. Love hearing from Joel. Hey, real quick, last one for me on the way out. Who was Stokely as a teammate?
Oh, man, I love Stokely. So Brandon and I knew each other a lot because in the offseason, well, he had had a prior stint with the Broncos. So I would come home in the offseason during my time with the Texans, and we'd train with Lauren Landau. And so we knew each other. We had conversations. Stokely was a gnarly route runner, absolutely gnarly route runner in the slot. Taught me how to set guys up, drop your hips at the top, give them something. And the dude caught everything and would make me so mad because he'd just stick out his little one hand and catch everything. And so he was a good, hardworking teammate. He lacked a little physicality for me. I hated to see him catch a pass and cruise out of bounds. That was annoying. But
That still haunts you, Joel. It just kills you. It kills Joel that I would run out of bounds. He hates it.
But to be honest with you, I was a little bit jealous of him, too, because here's a guy who didn't have to play special teams, right? Didn't have to play first or second down very often unless we got into like an 11 personnel type of game. So really, the only work he had to do throughout the week was routes on air, a little bit of 7-on-7, and then the 2-minute drill on Friday afternoon, which is kind of half speed anyway. So, he probably practiced 50% of the time I did in 2012.
Oh, yeah. Man, that is great. Well, I'll tell you this, and this is the last thing I'll say on the way out, and this is still haunted me. We were playing softball 2 years ago at Bearcat Gyms, and there was a play at the plate, and you were all over it, Joel, and Stokely was on the wrong side of it. argued and would refuse to let it go. I saw it clearly. You made the play at the plate. If there was a sky judge there, you would have been called right, and Stokely still will never let that go. But Joel, you're the man. We really, really appreciate you joining us here, and best of everything to you and Stacy and the kids, and just appreciate you giving us some time here, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. Keep kicking butt.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors, get everything you want out of a dealership.